Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Happy Easter to everybody out there on an Easter Sunday. John Chukri, hopping my way along until 2 o'clock today. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll let you guys weigh in, and gals too, weigh in this segment, because I do have a question for you about the Braves. We are streaming online. It's 929thegame.com. Catch replays of the show. Catch our best moments there, all your sports news. Download your radio.com app. Put it on your phone, your tablet, your boombox, turntable, your Walkman, whatever you got. That way you can catch us live on the go. Social media, all of it is at 929thegame. We got Instagram, we got Facebook, Twitter. Hell, I think we got MySpace, Match, Tinder, Grindr, Bumble. There's a lot out there for you. The other way you can interact with the show today, follow me on Twitter. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. You can give us your thoughts there as well. It's always the best way to interact with the show, if you will. Coming up an hour from now, speaking of baseball and the Braves, we'll talk with MLB Network insider John Heyman. Always does a great job, got a lot of good information. We'll get his thoughts about the Braves, but also go around Major League Baseball and what's been an interesting couple few weeks thus far into the season. So, last night, that dichotomy of pitching reared its head again for the Braves. It's been starters one night, and the bullpen can't help you. It's been the starters no good, and the bullpen goes lights out. It just, for whatever reason right now, doesn't seem to want to all come together. And the question I ask you at 404-741-0929 or at JMCH316 on Twitter is, where are you more frustrated at right now? Is it the starters, or is it the bullpen? You know, for me personally, I will tell you it's the bullpen issues. Let's look at the starting rotation. You know, Max Fried has been terrific thus far, and a guy who looks like he can stay in. Got a great start out of Mike Soroka the other night. Obviously, he's a guy that they're counting on a lot to be another one of their starters that's going to be around and stay in the bullpen, okay? Kevin Gausman has been really good himself. I think the interesting stat, really interesting stat for Tehran and Gausman both, those guys are averaging over 10 strikeouts per nine innings. Gausman's got 22 strikeouts in 19 and two-thirds innings. Tehran has actually got 29 strikeouts in 25 and two-thirds. Problem for Tehran in his 5.61 ERA, five homers given up, 28 hits and 14 walks. So he's got the strikeouts, but the problem is he's got a 1.64 whip, which, let me put that to you in baseball terms, that ain't good. That ain't good. Sean Newcomb hadn't been good. Kyle Wright, mixed bag. I think the Braves have and should have more answers at starter just because, well, they've built their entire rebuild around the starting rotation. They've built their whole rebuild of this organization around pitching, right? And it feels like everybody on this group is a starter. Nobody's being asked to go into different or separate roles with this team. Why I'm frustrated with the bullpen is because, on one hand, I hear about the electric stuff, the great things that Kyle Wright has, and he's back down in Gwinnett because he needs starts to fix some things. I hear about all the great stuff that Sean Newcomb has and this, that, and the other, and he's down in Gwinnett making starts. if you're telling me that Kyle Wright and Sean Newcomb and even Julio Teheran to a degree, if those guys can't get you 18 outs, 21 outs, hell, 15 outs, can those guys get you 3 outs? Can they get you 2 outs? Can they get you 4 outs? Because if they can, then those guys should be in the bullpen. Now, Teheran's interesting because, as we said, you don't normally see an $11 million pitcher, short of Kenshin Kawakami, headed to the bullpen. It's just not normally where an $11 million guy goes. And look, I know the whole Craig Kimbrel thing. You know how I know it? Because I'm the only guy on this radio station in Atlanta, I'll say it, in the whole damn marketplace, that was talking 2 years ago about, hey, why don't the Braves go get Craig Kimbrel in 2019 when he becomes a free agent? Oh, he's going to be old and he's... Okay. I heard all the reasons about why. And now everybody's Johnny-come-lately about, well, why don't we go give Kim... Like, who didn't know that this was coming? And I get it. Minter was lights out last night. You trust him night in, night out when this team actually wins and has close games and gets into the quote-unquote high leverage situations. My new favorite term in analytics, high leverage, right? We got to have our terms, high leverage. So are you trusting? Because Vizcaino's gone for the year. You ain't got him. And if you want one less of the Shane Carls or the Wes Parsons or the Chad Sabatkas of the world, if you want one less of those guys and let everybody step up one spot, that's the first thing Kimbrel does. Forget what he does in the ninth inning, and he's your only guy that you got to worry about going out for the ninth. Forget all of that. The idea is he moves everybody up. But I will say this. Craig Kimbrel by himself doesn't solve all of your woes. He doesn't fix all of the things that are wrong with the bullpen. Because he's one guy, and he's one guy who's specialized for a certain role. He's only one guy. You need more. And this is where I'm getting frustrated with the bullpen is, I don't want to hear about Kyle Wright's electric stuff and Sean Newcomb's electric stuff and all the guys you got in AAA and how close Ian Anderson is getting in Mississippi to moving up. I don't want to hear about those guys. If those guys can help the big team, then why is Chad Sabatka and Wes Parsons and Jesse Biddle on the roster? You can't count on those guys night in, night out. Yeah, they were lights out last night, 7-2-3. I get it. They also lost you multiple games this week. When your starters were really good this week, they lost you multiple games. And go back to what I said, the 30, 35 games that are going to decide your season. They just gave you two of those. Two of those games you couldn't win because of those guys. You know, last night was one of those games you got back because you shouldn't have won the second game. You got that one back. That was your bullpen and your offense because your starters stunk last night. So, for me personally, I would tell you that I think that there are more answers to the starting rotation. And you got Mike Fultonevich coming back. I think with Gausman, Fulte, Soroka, and Fried, I think you have at least four answers right there. I would tell you, I brought this up the other night. Why don't they think about Touki Toussaint moving to the bullpen and maybe even closing? If he's got electric stuff and they're not sure if he can get 18 outs, go see if he can get 3. Because what I'd rather have is, instead of the shuttle bus of Smyrna to Buford and back, you know, I know there's a train track that runs in between, but instead of that constant shuttle bus that's running where we feel like we're just spotting guys in and out from Gwinnett to Smyrna to the big club to the AAA club, who's moving up from Mississippi to that? Why don't we find some new roles for those guys? And why don't we try something different? It can't be worse than Jesse Biddle and Chad Sabatka keeps coming out. Can't be much worse than that. 404-741-0929 is our phone line if you want to jump on. Dalton out in Dallas. What's going on, Dalton?
Hey, happy Easter, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Same to you. Thank you.
Sir, my biggest concern is the mindset of the Braves, the front office. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Tarik Kimball, I believe, is the answer, not just the fact of his presence, but his mindset of being a world champion. And I wholeheartedly believe that his presence can actually help those guys reach their full potential.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Dalton. That's a good point. Isn't the reason I heard that Brian McCann is back is because of his leadership and clubhouse and all that kind of stuff? Does Brian McCann have any rings? He hasn't won a title. Did he win a title with Houston? He was on that team, right? So he's got a World Series win now, right? Kimbrel's got what, three of them? So if you're telling me that it's okay to bring old guy Brian McCann back because of what he can do in the clubhouse, and then some people tell me it isn't as good to bring back Craig Kimbrel, who's much younger and better than Brian McCann at his position and his spot in life. Doesn't that make sense too? I can't argue with you, Dalton. You told me Brian McCann's back, who caught 59 games last year because of leadership. So Kimbrel couldn't be a leader to some of these young guys in the bullpen. And show some guys, yeah, here's my three World Series rings. And for those people that are, well, Kimbrel didn't, you know, he didn't pitch well down the stretch of this, that, and other. This is what I keep throwing out to people. Okay. The Red Sox in the playoffs won 11 games. That's what you get to win the World Series. You have to win 11 games. The Red Sox had 7 games that they won in the playoffs by 3 runs or less. Craig Kimbrel saved 6 of those games. If I told you as a Braves fan right now, forget all the other metrics, all the other numbers, all the other analytics. If I told you right now today that Craig Kimbrel would come in here and give you 6 playoff saves, would you take that? He's going to save 6 games in the playoffs. Would you go with that? Forget ERA, whip, this, that, strikeouts, forget all that stuff. In the column that says save, he gives you 6 of those in the playoffs. Would you take that? Yeah. Yeah. Because that means the Braves are moving right along. That's the whole point of Craig Kimbrel. That's where you want Craig Kimbrel. Hey, then, is he on? Okay, 6 saves in the playoffs out of 7 chances that he could get. Because when you win 15-2 like the Red Sox did, you don't have to worry about Craig Kimbrel. All right, when we get back, boy, there's a lot more tea leaves pointing to the Atlanta Falcons maybe making a bold move. I'll read you something from our buddy D-Led. Are you expecting a bold move out of the Falcons in moving up in the draft? We'll discuss that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Here we go. Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome into the Kia Studios on a Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to everybody out there. John Chuckery here with you. Taking it till 2 o'clock, 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact at JMCH316. Also, your best way to interact with the show. Coming up at noon, we'll talk to John Heyman from MLB Network and get his thoughts about the Braves and as we go around all of Major League Baseball. But coming up Thursday, obviously a huge night in the world of sports as the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft, will take place. And right now, currently with the Falcons at the 14th pick of the draft, a lot of different directions and a lot of different thoughts about what the Falcons may do. Our buddy D-Led, who covers the Falcons for the AJC, put out his blog the other day and talks about should the Falcons fly up to number three to get Williams or Oliver. You know, he talks about the fact that Thomas Dimitrov has made at least one trade in each of his past 10 drafts. Now, we also know that the last time the Falcons had this many draft picks in one draft, they moved up and grabbed some guy named Julio Jones. And all the angst and aggravation, and you can't do that for wide receivers. I think the franchise has shown it's better because 11 is here. And I think number two would say the same thing, and I think Mike Smith and Dan Quinn would probably tell you the same thing. But anyway, all that aside out there. So there's a report out that the New York Jets, who are looking for a pass rusher, who picked third in the draft currently, there's a report out there from D-Led calls him respected New York writer Ralph Vacchiano. Did I pronounce that right? Close enough for government work. Here's what he wrote. Quote, according to multiple NFL sources, the Jets seemed determined to trade down in the first round of the NFL draft, which begins on Thursday in Nashville. Jets GM Mike McCagnan has made it clear several times that he's open to the idea, though he may be downplaying just how open to it he actually is. They seem to really, really want to move down, one NFL executive said. Maybe they're just keeping their options open, but it sure seems like that number three pick is for sale. Now, D-Led brings up the fact that if the Falcons did move up to number three, they could add Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams or Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver. On the trade value depth chart, the Jets pick is worth 2,200 points. The Falcons pick is worth 1,110 points, okay? So this is that whole point system that you have to start thinking about when you start talking about trades for draft picks in the NFL. So the Falcons would have to swap their first, second, and third, and next year's second to make up the 1,100 points, okay? So that would leave, after the third pick, the Falcons would have 2 fourth-rounders, 2 fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. Okay? So you swap your first this year, you give up your second and third this year, and you got to give up next year's second round pick. Okay? Thomas Dimitrov the other day did say, I think 14 is a really good place to be. I think it gives you opportunities to move up and down. Last year, we were dabbling into discussions right in the middle of the round. It's kind of a right place for discussion. You're giving away a lot to move up into the tens, top 10 for sure. Would it be worth it to go get that for Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver? Me personally, not for Ed Oliver. I'm not giving all of that up for Ed Oliver because I don't think Ed Oliver is the ideal fit next to Grady Jarrett unless you're just telling me that they're not going to sign Grady Jarrett. That's where Ed Oliver makes the most sense for this team if you're telling me Grady Jarrett's not here for the long term. Because Grady Jarrett and Ed Oliver, side by side on first and second down, that's not a good combination. You don't think? Okay, look at what the Steelers, Baltimore, Dallas did to you, what Philadelphia's done to you. You put two lighter guys like that, and you can tell me about hybrids and nickel. You don't draft the 14th pick overall or move up to the third pick to be a guy who is part of a rotation. That guy better be able to be a three-down tackle in the NFL. I don't know that him and Grady Jarrett, and Randy and I have been steadfast about this to a lot of people's chagrin, I don't think Ed Oliver next to Grady Jarrett makes the most sense. From style and size and everything else, I don't think that makes the most sense. Would I be willing to move up to third and give all of that up? Here's what you have to factor in, okay? Let me tell you, who can't be worried about 2020's draft or 2021's draft. Two guys especially. One's named Dan Quinn, the other's named Thomas Dimitrov. Those two guys can't be worried about how the future's going to roll along. They have to find guys that they can plug in as starters right now that can help fix this team and win right now. Because if they don't win right now, one or both of those guys are gone. And I firmly believe, number one, that Dan Quinn, without the playoffs, despite whatever record you want to tell me, is out. I don't care if they're 9-7, 10-6, and they don't make the playoffs, I don't think he's in. Because it's about playoffs or bust, Super Bowl or bust. It's one of the most talented teams in the NFL, one of the most talented in the NFC. They better be in Super Bowl or bust mode. Because you can't keep sitting around and waiting to say, well, you know, while you still got some of your cheap labor and while you still have some flexibility in your cap and everything like that, even with your quarterback and everything else that's going along, you got to win now. You got to take advantage now while everybody's in their dead red prime. When Julio and Freeman and Matt Ryan and everybody's in their dead red prime, you got to capitalize. So those two guys especially aren't worried about a year, 2-3 years from now. That just seems like a lot to go up to get. I'm not taking Ed Oliver at 3. I would assume that you hope that Williams is there. You have to assume that and hope that Murray's taken number 1 and Bosa's taken number 2. And that gives you everybody at that point. Is Quinnen Williams worth that? Well, he's certainly the best defensive tackle that we're going to see in this draft. No question about that. Me personally, I think the Falcons are in a really good position at 14. Why? Because I think you're going to see those quarterbacks going off the board. And every quarterback and every skill position player that goes off the board puts one more defensive, offensive, defensive end, puts one more line of scrimmage guy down. I would be really happy if the Falcons at 14 saw Greedy, Baker, and all of the cornerbacks that they love go. Almost to the point where they're pigeonholed into the idea of they're going to have to draft line of scrimmage because that's the best player there. The good corners are gone. The quarterbacks have been taken. Maybe Jacobs at running back's been taken. Those guys are all gone. And now all the best guys left are D-tackle, D-end, offensive lineman. Almost to where their hand is forced and sitting at 14. Because I don't want to, let me tell you what else I don't want to do. I don't want to move up to go get Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker. I don't want to move up to go get corners either. I understand the need for corner. I get that. And I understand the idea that if Desmond Trufant isn't a long-term answer and you got to get younger, because Oliver's going to be one of your starters now, I get that. I don't need the 14th pick overall or moving up to be a corner who I don't know where you're telling me he's playing right away. So I'm not of the idea of I like the second, the third, and next year's second all going away just to get Quinnen Williams. That means Quinnen Williams better be, he better be Warren Sapp or somebody like that coming to the league. You better get a high leverage guy coming into the league at that point. 404-741-0929 is our phone line. Let's go out to the phones. Ken out in Buckhead. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Chuckery, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I couldn't agree with you more as far as giving up all those picks for to move down to 3. Good organizations like Pittsburgh, the New England of the world, they wouldn't do that. I mean, I understand that Quinn and Thomas the Dumboff, they're in a desperate mode, but you can't do it. You can't do it. Stay pat at number 14. Work with what you have. It's not like we've got a bunch of clowns that play on this team. We've got Pro Bowlers. We've been to the Super Bowl no less than 2 years ago. If you make the right moves, if someone's there to know what they're doing, do your homework on these guys. Go out and find the right player that can get you over the hump, man.
Appreciate it, Ken. Look, I'm not opposed to the Falcons moving up in the first round. John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We're talking about the NFL draft and where the Falcons make a bold move. I'm not opposed to the Falcons moving up. If you told me the Falcons move up to like 10, you know, and they got to give up a second or a fourth, okay, I'm not opposed to that. But I think there's too many good players that at 14, if things kind of start to hold true, then you get a really good player at 14 and you haven't given up everything. Because let me tell you, you need that second round pick this year. You need that. You need to find either a line of scrimmage guy on one side of the ball. You need to find more of those line of scrimmage guys. Or if you're telling me you're drafting your corner there or a running back there, okay, I could be talked into some of that kind of stuff. But you're telling me going up to three and you're going to give all that up, it better be a guy who's ready to be one of the defensive rookies of the year in the NFL. Back to the phones. Trotsky out in Marietta. What's going on, man?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Happy Easter to you.
Hey, thank you, brother. Hey, I agree with you as far as that moving up. But me personally, this is just my opinion now, but I believe Quinton Williams, man, I'm an Alabama fan, so I don't know if I'm biased or not, but I believe he's worth that number three pick, number three, number four pick, man, because you put him beside Eric Garrett, the other D tackle, man.
Yeah, Grady Jarrett.
That'll solidify that defense.
Listen, I understand, Trotsky. I understand the type of player that he is, and he's considered to be, you know, right up there in the top tier of all of the best guys in the draft coming out. I get that. But one is, you got more holes than just that line of scrimmage guy. And you better start finding some answers as well, because if you do that and you pick him, you ain't picking again to the fourth. You're not picking again to the fourth round. Where are you fixing everything else? All right, when we come back, we'll hear some sound from G-Day. Did we learn anything from G-Day yesterday? Well, Kirby Smart and Jake Fromm will tell us a little bit next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go. Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia Studios with you here on a Easter Sunday morning. John Chuckery. Hope everybody's enjoying the day out and about, probably at church or getting ready. Either you got out or about to hit the contemporary type service, right? That's what they call it now. They've got the traditionals and they got the contemporary and all that. They got a lot of different labels to all of it. So enjoy the day. Hope you get the chance to spend some time with the family. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Coming up top of the hour, John Heyman from MLB Network will join us, and we'll get his thoughts about the Braves and go around in the world of Major League Baseball. Yesterday, we were all out in Athens. Shout out to our buddy Johnny and the Grindhouse folks. We had a great time, as always, out in Athens. Weather was not great, that's for sure. It was not a very pretty day outside to be in Athens, but listen, it's G-Day. And I think it's interesting the way Kirby kind of has scheduled this is that he wants to be. And I get it was Easter weekend and all that kind of stuff and the weather. You can't kind of figure out what it's going to be there. But I thought it was interesting that Kirby has kind of made himself isolated in this program with their G-Day game, right? Everybody else in the SEC has been done. And a couple weeks ago, you had Alabama and LSU and Florida. So everybody's gotten out of the way, and now here's Georgia. Here's Georgia with a chance to kind of put the spotlight directly on them. You know, put all the attention right onto UGA. Let's hear from Kirby Smart yesterday as he talk about what he's looking for between what he saw yesterday and getting ready for the start of the season.
I want to see some strength gains. I want to see some guys coming in rehabbing injuries that maybe weren't in the spring. We got some really valuable players that we think could impact our season that didn't go through spring. And I think it's critical that they get the right mental makeup to go have a great fall camp, because when you miss that body of work they just missed, it puts them behind. And summer workouts. You know, we're looking for guys for some leadership to go out there, and they have to do 7-on-7s on their own without us. So they got to go out there and handle it.
Now, Poopster Abe Gordon back there said, the Masters. You understand, they were playing spring games before that. There were other teams and other locations that were playing spring games before that. Kirby has basically waited until after all of this has died down. Yeah, last weekend, they played spring games like 2 weeks ago. So he could have done it even before then. It wasn't like he had to wait for all of this kind of stuff. Now, Jake Fromm yesterday, one great number, 14-29, threw a pick. I mean, if you want one of the takeaways yesterday, defense was aggressive, cornerbacks aggressive. They got a couple of picks in the game. Here's Kirby Smart talking about his upperclassman at quarterback, which he should feel good about.
I think leadership was the biggest thing he took a step forward in, and assessing his personality on the receivers, on the O-line, not being timid to step up and say things to guys when things need to be said. And not that he's ever been afraid to do it, but I think he's asserted himself more.
So one of the other terms that Kirby Smart has gone full Dan Quinnism on is creating, ready, havoc plays, right? That's the new term that we got high leverage in baseball, right? We got DQ with, you know, Embrace the Suck and Fast and Furious and our Hunger Games Index and Do Right Longer, The Bears Loose. We got all that. Now Kirby's got havoc plays. Well, that's what he wants out of his defense. They made some turnovers yesterday. Here's him talking about that havoc on defense.
Well, we didn't have a lot of opportunities for havoc because we didn't have our whole, I mean, we only had one five-man pressure, one blitz, one call that you could do. I mean, we want to find out what the players can execute. That's not the purpose of a spring game. We continue to work on havoc, and it's going to be a big word for us all year.
There you go. Big words, havoc, baby. Havoc plays. Everybody's got their catchphrases now, right? Everybody's got their slogans and their sayings and their bumper stickers. And, hey, man, whatever works. As long as you win. Because let me tell you what UGA is. Playoffs are bust. It's time to start putting a trophy in the butts of your building. I don't want to hear about recruiting classes and we're moving up. And you got an upperclassman at quarterback. You got a very talented roster. They're going to go in at worst fourth in the country. At worst. It might be third. They might get slotted right by Bama. Clemson are going one. That's 1-2. Okay? Now you shake out. I got Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State. Georgia's one of those next two teams. Georgia's going to be third or fourth in the country going into the season. And you have one of the best quarterbacks in America. I've got him as the fourth best quarterback in America coming back. I'll give it to those two guys, Clemson and Bama. I got it. The only guy I got ahead of him is Justin Herbert out of Oregon. Jake Fromm is the fourth best quarterback coming back. You can't dumb your way to 30 touchdowns and six picks. You're 5-1 in college, and you've got 30 touchdowns. Can't dumb your way to that, folks. So I expect big things out of Jake coming this year. Now, who's he throwing to? Well, one of the guys I'm really looking at is J.J. Holloman, guy who stepped up in the second half of the year, saw his targets increase. Demetrius Robinson, another guy that they're counting on. Holloman, to me, has got to be that big play kind of guy. They need him to step up and be that big play guy. But right now, Kirby says he's not necessarily comfortable about where the wide receivers are.
We just don't have numbers. It's the thinnest position. I mean, they're D-line tight end. It's probably more concerning than tight end, only because those guys play on special teams, and we lost a tremendous amount of special team snaps out of our wide receiver room.
Well, and that's something we talked about yesterday on College Football Game Time. Who about returning punts and kicks? Maybe not necessarily who, but certainly without Mecole Hardman, who felt like every time he touched the football, it could be taken back to the house. That's something they got to figure out. They're big play wide receivers. Who's going to play under? There's a lot of questions about wide receiver. It's not talent, guys. It's about experience. It's the same way with defensive back. They have guys that start. Campbell started, 10 games last year? They're just young. You know, there's youth back there. You're talking about possibly two starting corners that are sophomores. Now, you got the leader, the graduate, in Reed. So you got your leader back there in your defensive group. But you've got a lot of young guys at different places. Going to be young at defensive end. Experienced inside tackle, young at defensive end. You're going to have to count on a lot of different guys now at this wide receiver position as well that maybe haven't been asked to have as big a role. Tight end could be the same way. Jake Fromm yesterday, as we said, 14-29 was what it was. They were trying to huck it around. Weather wasn't good. You know, again, I don't know what to really take from it. But here's Jake Fromm talking afterward about his goals for this spring.
We wanted to get better converting in the red zone of getting more touchdowns. We wanted to get better at third and 7-10 in that range there, and also goal line.
It's great when you've got a guy that's run your offense for multiple years, upperclassman, a leader on the team, understands everything that's going on out there. I think that's an invaluable resource that Georgia has. And you talk about strengths of this football team. I said it yesterday. There's no question in my mind the number one strength of this team is where they're set at quarterback. As good as they are at running back and what they can be at wide receiver, they might have the best offensive line in the nation. They'll be a young, hungry defense. Smith's going to be one of the better young defensive ends in the country. Really good first-team all-conference type of safety. It's that quarterback position. When things don't go well, can you trust and count on that guy? Yeah, I understand. Auburn, LSU, there were moments not so good. Everybody has those kinds of games. Got news for you. Tua didn't play well in the first half against Georgia. He didn't play well against Clemson. Everybody gets those moments. But they've also been able to count on Jake Fromm when they've needed him. Check your box for Florida. Right? Games like that. Here's Jake Fromm also talking about what new offensive coordinator James Coley is bringing to this team.
He's always thinking about, hey, the next play and, hey, how can we set this up to do this? And he's very good with moving people around and just kind of always getting in the right place. So it's awesome to see. You know, he's the innovator on offense, you know, always thinking of plays up. And I love that about him.
Obviously, new coordinators coming in, some changing of philosophy as OC, DC, everybody's moving out. But this is where you trust Kirby, right? Because the best programs are going to lose some of those guys. The Brent Venables of the world are very rare to stay. Kirby was rare to stay as long as he did in Alabama. So you trust Kirby and his staff as they get ready to go into what's going to be a potentially huge season for Georgia. Speaking of former UGA coaches, the ACC Network just landed them. They got themselves a fine man coming in. We'll talk about that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it. Chuckery in the Kia Studios. It's about halfway home with you here on an Easter Sunday. John Heyman from MLB Network coming up at the top of the hour. One nice thing about 11 o'clock hour is that it's finally time to eat. The fasting goes over with, and some apples and some almonds and a protein shake here in just a little bit. Mmm. What an Easter brunch, huh? That's right. We're going to spice it up later because we're going to have some grilled chicken and some carrot sticks a little bit later. So really going to step on a limb for Easter festivities and food today. So the ACC Network has a new analyst, and, well, you know, it's going to be a fine opportunity. I got some really fine young men in that locker room there. As former Miami Hurricane, former UGA coach, Mark Richt is joining the ACC Network. He announced his new role as a studio analyst during a Miami spring game on Saturday. Of course, remember, he retired. Yeah, I felt like it was the right time. Is that because the program was stinking it up under your coach, or how's that kind of work? But anyway, he says, yeah, there's no easy time to do it for sure, especially when you're the head coach. You know, that's the hardest part about how it affected other people. I felt it was the right time for me as a person, and I felt like my Miami would it be in better hands. It's a fine group of young men that we got there. Is he going to get animated at all? Like, I'm just curious, like, when he's – because you want a little bit of personality, right? Like, they brought Butch in, you know, and, on you know, he's got some personality and all that kind of stuff, you know, right? I mean, is he going to be a little bit animated? Is he going to be, well, you know, that's a really good thought there. You know, that's a fine-looking team they got there, you know. At Georgia Tech, that's a fine young coach they got there. It's a fine-looking team that they got going on out there. So, yeah, all blessings be. That's a good-looking group they got there. I'm just curious as to how edgy and how much kind of – not that Mark Richt's not a very insightful guy. You don't do all the things that Mark Richt has done in the world of college athletics, being a dummy, but I don't know how much of a dynamic personality he is when you mix in all that stuff. But what do I know? At this point, I don't understand anything in life. All right, when we get back, John Heyman from MLB Network going to join us, get some Braves thoughts, get some MLB thoughts as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.